worship you. Yahweh. We bow down, we bow down. And worship Yahweh.
Father, we worship you. We bless and magnify your glorious name. Thank you again for the wonderful opportunity granted us to come before your throne room, to sit at your feet, to hear your word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher. You will teach us. And as a good teacher, you will help us assimilate, comprehend that which we are taught. That by the grace, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of that which we are taught, that we be empowered to live a transformed life. We give you praise, O God, that this is so. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. It's good to have you here this wonderful day. We are studying from the book of Proverbs. We are in the third chapter. And today we are going to continue our study from the 25th verse. Proverbs 3. And verse 25. Praise God. It says here, be not afraid of sudden fear. Be not afraid of sudden fear. The best way to understand sudden fear is when you are surprised. Let's say you're now in a room doing something and you didn't expect somebody to come in, and you see them and you, well, that's sudden fear. But the fear that we're talking about here is more pronounced than that. This is the kind of fear that you don't recover from. You know, when somebody surprises you and you're shocked, you recover quickly. Your mind kicks in and you say to yourself, oh, you don't need to be afraid. It's just something. Now, the word here is the word pakad. And it is something that comes at you and causes you to be in a state of dread. It is sudden, it's not expected, but it sticks and puts you in that flow of fear. Or you may call it terror. It's the kind of fear that terrorizes you. And the kind of fear that sticks around and you're expecting from the place of sudden fear, you are, oh, this happened. What else is going to happen now? So you live in that state where you're now in a phobia. And it says to us, talking about pakad, this alarm, it's an alarming fear. He says, don't be afraid of sudden fear. In other words, I am going to protect you. When you have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, what the Word of God is saying to us is, because you have wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you can read what's happening around you. And nothing is going to overtake you without you seeing it well ahead of time. You can see it. This is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And so you are able to mitigate with the wisdom of God a proper approach to that particular situation. So God is saying, don't be afraid of sudden fear. Why? It's not going to happen. And then it says, don't be afraid of the desolation of the wicked. The desolation of the wicked, the destruction of the wicked. Say, don't be afraid of that. Why? It has nothing to do with you. It's not your portion. It's not your portion. Don't be afraid of it. Whatever it is that's happening with the wicked, it's not going to happen to you. But there is going to be a desolation of the wicked. He says, don't be afraid of it, because that's not your portion. When things happen in the world, we have, strangely enough, the mindset that, well, because it's happening, it's going to happen to me. And that's exactly what God doesn't want for us. What happens to the world is not assigned to you as a believer. Now, let's have this clear. This promise of God is connected to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Now, may I put it this way? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, all those three things, when you have it together, bring you to a place where you are operating in faith, not as a system, but faith in God, faith in His Word, faith in His purpose and plan for you. Believe in God that what He has spoken will be made manifest in your life. But if you don't believe it, then sudden fear will take you over. One of our partners called earlier, well, maybe around 2 or 3 o'clock this afternoon, and they were watching the service from Sunday night and testify. Do you remember me talking about somebody losing hair towards the end? I said, the Lord is talking about somebody that's losing lots of hair and God is healing it. Okay, this was the person. They were losing lots of hair and now God is restored. And he says, I can't believe it, my hair is growing. I said, well, you know, just why don't you just send a text message or an email so that we can document what God did for you? Well, she was excited about the fact that we were laying hands and anointing with oil. She lives in Alberta. And she says, the church that I have been attending here, they don't believe in any of that. They don't believe in laying on of hands or anointing with oil because they say it's old-fashioned. I said, wow, that's interesting. Old-fashioned, so the Bible must, all of it must be old-fashioned. You know, well, if you're in a church and you don't believe the word of God, don't be afraid of sudden fear and see that as a promise, then sudden fear will take you up. The word of God is relevant to those that believe. If you don't believe it, it's not for you. Therefore, if bad things are happening to wicked people, you'll be afraid. Why? Because, well, it's a pandemic. It's going, people are dying. I'm going to die. And a lot of believers died in the last pandemic. And a lot of died because they did not believe. Now, when we talk about believing, I'm not talking about what people say with their mouth. Because people can say things with their mouth that didn't come from their heart. Unfortunately, that's where a lot of believers are. We mimic whatever it is that is being said like a parrot. I don't think a parrot, when a parrot is trying to mimic your words, that it actually understands it completely. When we receive the word of God, we need to understand it, we need to know it, and we need to apply it. Because unapplied words will not help you. Period. Just because you say something isn't going to help you. We've got to know that deep within us. That I say I'm a Christian, it's not what makes me a Christian. But if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, that's how you get saved. But you've got to believe in your heart. I attended church when I was still of the world, and I wasn't a Christian, not by any stretch of the imagination. When I confessed my sins and believed that Jesus Christ is my Savior, the one who has loved me with an everlasting love, the one who has forgiven me, then my life changed. If you don't believe that, it doesn't work. If you don't believe that by the stripes of Jesus you were healed, it doesn't work. You have to believe. So it's, again, let's look at that verse. Be not afraid. of sudden piton, fear. Don't be afraid of it. Sudden fear will come, but don't be afraid. Kick back to your, just like somebody came and surprised you, kick back to, oh, it's nothing. The Lord is with me. Because the enemy will try to attach it himself. But that's when you kick back to what you believe, the word of God, and that removes you from the lie of the enemy. Praise the Lord. I had a spiritual attack a few days ago that looked so real. I woke up, and as soon as I did, I said, that's not for me. That is not my portion. Get out. Meanwhile, the enemy's yapping. Oh, that it got you, it got you. I said, no. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not my portion. Further during the day, I said, feeling something. I said, no, that's not my portion. And enforce the word of God. And that attack became nullified. But there are people I know that have had an attack like that, and they woke up and they had major health issues and they died from it. If I did not know the word of God, then I will invite pain, because now I'm believing, oh, I got hit. Oh, this, oh, that. But it was a sudden attack. But that is not my portion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we need to know that. Verse 20 says, he says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence. The Lord is your confidence. That's why you're not afraid. And shall keep thy foot from being, present tense continuous, taken. What is that? That is the constant attempt of the enemy trying to grab you, trying to subjugate you to his will, to his design, to his plan, to his purposes. And you're saying, that's not my portion. You dig the pit, you fall into it. You set the snare, you be caught by it. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, far above all principalities, all powers, all the rulers of the darkness of this world, all spiritual wickedness. I am far above. Oh, but okay, so if you are so far above, how come my punch got to you? I'm far above because your punch that got to me did not have any effect on me, foolish devil. Hallelujah. I am not subject to your influence or your control. I am under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and whatever you think you did not succeed. Praise God. That is how, as believers, we think. We attach ourselves to the confidence that we have in God, and our confidence is in the very fact that he is God and he cannot lie. He's not a lying God. Praise God. Now, as it is with the book of Proverbs, different statements are made And there are times when it is just a theme right through. But then there are times when you have a verse that just stands for one thing, or two verses that will stand for a particular point, and then it will skip to another point, and then it will skip to another point. But the framework that we are understanding the book of Proverbs from is founded in three principal words. Do you remember them? Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Okay. So, through the lenses of those three, you need to look at every verse. So it says here, we're told not good from them to whom it is due. It's a wise thing. Don't withhold good from the person that it is due. Why is that important? Because if you sow that, that's what you're going to reap. Don't delay your response in dealing with issues. Don't procrastinate on it. Don't push it to another day. Do it now. If it is within your power and it's in your hand, do it now. Praise God. God says to you, give something, do it now. Now, what the enemy does sometimes is he will generate ideas that somewhat make sense and make you to delay doing something. And most of the time, it is going to be founded in fear, not love. Love casts out fear. Amen? And when you're operating in love, you understand that sometimes there are certain things that you're going to do that can be misinterpreted. But you don't allow your so-called reputation to stop you from doing what is good. If I do this, it might be misinterpreted as this, but that's not what I meant. Just do what you're supposed to do. When the instruction is from the Lord, God gives you an instruction. Just do it. Not every instruction that God gives to you is going to make you feel good or bring you immediate satisfaction. Sometimes what you're meant to do may cause you pain. What the Lord was meant to do caused him pain. But it was within his strength to do it. He did not withhold good from them to whom it is due. And in this case, to them that it is due is sinners. And so he paid the price for sinners. Did we deserve it? Not really. But did he make us deserve it? Yeah. So by his actions, he put value and worth on us. He says, when it is in the power of your hand to do it, do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again. And tomorrow I will give. You have it with you right now. Why are you telling the person to go and come tomorrow? You can solve the problem right now. What's the problem? You have it by you? Take care of the business now. You have it. Solve the problem. Stop postponing. Stop procrastinating. Stop passing the buck. Because if that's what you sow, that's what you're going to get. That's exactly what you're going to get. Because according to how you sow, how you meet it to others, so shall it be meet back to you. It is a spiritual law. Do what you got to do when you need to do it. And don't procrastinate. Oh, I'll give it. You know how many times people say, when this and when that. You know, the Word of God is going to tell us something. If you are observing the weather, you will never sow. If you're looking down the street and say, oh, there's a lion out there, you'll never do what you need to do. And God's challenge to us is this. Stop thinking about what's out there when you need to do something. If you have it, do it. If you don't have it, you're not obligated. Get that. If I don't have it, I am not obligated. Look at it again. Withhold not good. Withholding means that you're keeping something back. You cannot withhold something that you don't have. So God is not saying that you are called to solve everybody's problems. That's not the point. The point is, you have it. Do something. Right? But what if I need it tomorrow? This person needs it now. You need something tomorrow. Tomorrow will come and we'll deal with your situation tomorrow. But right now, this person has a problem. And you have the capacity to solve it. Solve it. Period. That's it. Amen? Says, devise not evil against thy neighbor. Now, understand that we just talked about dealing with issues right away. And in the context of that, the Word of God is saying that you not doing what you're called to do is like devising evil against your neighbor. Because you're not helping them. Now they're going to step into an evil place, a troubled place, while you had the solution at hand. So devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. He dwells secured by you. So don't plan against him. Don't do anything that's going to hurt him. If he needs help, help him. He's by you. Help him. The guy in Timbuktu that I know nothing about, it's not my greatest issue. But that person is my neighbor as soon as I know about his situation. And if I can help, I help. Now, I share testimonies sometimes, and I don't want you to think sharing testimonies, particular testimonies, because I want people to think, oh, what a nice guy. That's not the point. Mama and I were visiting a neighbor of ours who just lost a loved one. And we're consoling this gentleman, and we started talking about different things, and He starts talking about this person from, I think it was from Asia or Eastern Europe somewhere, that struggling financially, and that they had a friend that normally would send some funds to this person, and has been of great help to this person. So Mama and I, we finished, we left, and we looked at each other and said, we need to participate. We need to help this person too. And so put some monies together, gave it to this gentleman, and we said to him, we said, listen, on behalf of your beloved spouse that's gone home, we're giving this. Can you please put it in the hands of that gentleman, and so he can send it? Sure enough, they did, and sent us a card appreciating it, and the person that received it was deeply touched and stuff like that. Well, that person was a neighbor only because we heard about the situation. And so engaged ourselves. When we give to somebody that is, well, somewhere in Africa, they have bad water and want wells dug, and we sow through another ministry because we don't have the mechanics to doing that. That is getting involved. Giving is important. Amen? The Word of God says, when you have the opportunity to do something and you're not doing it, you are participating in devising evil. How different will our world be when we consider each person a neighbor? I don't know which neighbor, somebody around here, two or three times now, something was happening in the property that they saw was not right. Somebody setting some fire, you know, burning something or putting something into the property, and they will call the church number. Somebody's doing this. And we come and we look at it and resolve the situation. Now that's a neighbor. If they see something going bad or wrong with our property and say nothing, what good is that? There was some kind of a storm and a flasher, whatever it is you call those things, up in the roof got loose. It was flapping in the wind. Somebody called. Something's wrong up in your roof area. The flashing is loose. And came, saw it. Wow. If that thing keeps on flapping like that, it might get broken and then blow in the wind, hit somebody's car, or hit somebody, and guess whose problem it is? It becomes our problem. So I called and talked to one of the saints, and they went up there and put it together and secured it. Not to do that is just as much as devising evil. You didn't do it, but you saw it as a problem and you did nothing about it. How many times do we close our eyes and pretend that we don't see? And God says, you doing that? Pretending that you don't see the problem? Not engaging? You're part of the problem. People who see things going wrong and don't address it are part of the problem. And God is saying to us, stop being chicken. I'm not asking you to kill all the flies in the earth, you know, with a swapper, because flies are nuisance. Just kill the one around you, the one by your side, that dwelleth securely by thee. It's this issue by you. Deal with that. Let the other person deal with the issue that is by them. Let the other person deal with the issue that is by them. And you make a difference. Let me illustrate it this way and we'll go further. Let's say you're at the beach. And on the beach, there are lots of starfish washed onto the shore. Let's say there was 30,000 out on the shore. And you start grabbing one and throwing it into the water. Grab another one, throw it into the water. And somebody comes by you and says, wait a minute, what are you doing? There's over 30,000. You're going to spend all the time. What difference are you making? You're not making any difference. Guess what? It's a 30,000 starfish problem. But the one that I threw into that water, it made a difference. For that one. You cannot solve the world's problem, but you can solve somebody's problem. You can help somebody. So God is not saying to us, throw your hands up and give up and say, oh, the whole world is going to hell. God says, get one person at least out. Whoever it is that you can get out, get that one out. That's all I'm asking you to do. Are we together? Amen. Then it goes, it says, strive not with a man without cause. Don't just start fighting people without a reason. If he have done thee no harm. And that's what people do. Just the other day, I was watching the news, and there's these two Marines, I've forgotten what city they were at, and these kids were, you know, doing their fireworks, and a fragment fell on one of them, and they said to these young people, please, could you please stop doing that, because, you know, the fragments are hitting us here, or move it somewhere else. And they jumped these two Marines, and maybe about 30 other people join and start beating these guys up, hitting them, kicking them. Now, maybe they had an issue with three or four people. Where did the rest of you come from? And why are you throwing punches, if we ask you the question, why are you hitting the guy, are you going to be able to tell us? Well, I just saw them doing it, so I did it too. That's the craziness in our world. People just going at people for absolutely no reason. Absolutely no reason. Say, well, I won't do that. Well, what if somebody has a fight with somebody else and they think it's legitimate? And that person that they are fighting of striving with. He's not your friend, but the person that's striving is your friend. Do you join your friend because you want to keep your friendship? To castigate and go against the other person? Or do you step in and try to generate peace? Oh, you have. Well, how do they pull it? An enemy of my enemy is my friend. And God says, No. Don't be striving with people without a cause. And bring no harm to somebody who's not harmed you. Now, let's back up and let's look at the verse again. Strive not with a man without cause, if he have done thee no harm. So what does that say? It's saying, engage with a person if they have hurt you. But how do you engage with them? And why? To bring the situation to a resolution. Because just walking away and you carrying the hurt solves no problem. You're going to be in a state of bitterness. Deal with the issue. Talk about it. Try to find a solution. And the Lord will say to us, if you've got a problem with a friend or a brother or whoever, bring somebody to the situation to help resolve it. Not somebody who's going to side with you, but somebody that is going to be fair and arbitrate and try to find out what the issue is. And if he's still at fault and he's still not willing to change, then go get leadership to come bring about a resolution. And he says, and if the person still will not listen, then kick him out. Let him learn the importance of being family. That's what the Lord taught, to bring about resolutions. God has never spoken and said to us that when there's a problem, you don't solve it. He says, if you sin, you confess, you repent. If you don't confess your sin, you cannot be forgiven. So God says to us, basically here in the Proverbs, listen, deal with issues. Find a solution. And envy thou not the oppressor. Person who's oppressing, don't envy them. The oppressing others, don't envy them. What's the point? The oppressor is oppressing somebody so that he can be ahead of them. He's bullying somebody so that he can take their stuff. The oppressor seems to be tough, has all kinds of stuff. He's oppressing his workers and keeping their money. Keeping their stuff, what is due them, is not giving it to them. God's word says, don't envy him. Don't be like him. Don't choose any of his ways. Separate yourself from that. Why? For that oppressor is a proud person. For the froward is abomination to the Lord. That you think you can oppress people, God sees that as an act of arrogance. It means you're froward. You know, that word is such a powerful word. For the froward, proud, abominable. The Hebrew word is the word lose. Lose. Froward people are losers. That's a good way to remember that word. Froward people are losers. Because the word froward is the word lose. Perverse. Don't participate. That's an abomination before the Lord. Now, there's an interesting statement here. A froward person is an abomination to the Lord. For then it says, but his secret is with the righteous. The secret of what? The secret of the Lord is with the righteous. So therefore, we can boldly say that the proud do not know the secrets of the Lord. In Amos 3:7, the word of God says, God will do nothing except that he first reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. God, for a fact, will do nothing. However, he will reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Why? If God will do nothing, watch this. This is extremely important. This verse is an extremely important verse. Because what the word of God is saying right there in Amos 3:7 is God will do nothing. He will do nothing. But this is what he will do. He will reveal his secret unto his servants, the prophets, so that the secret which he reveals to his servants, the prophets, do what? Do what needs to be done. Let me say that again. God is not going to do anything, but he will reveal secrets so that you, his prophets, can do what needs to be done. So do you think God is going to give a proud, arrogant fool secrets so that he becomes more proud? God hates pride. It's an abomination to the Lord. That perverseness, that loose. Like I said earlier, froward, proud, perverse people are losers. But God wants to reveal secrets to me. So I ask God for something. Let's go back. There's a statement that the Lord has graced me to make in the past. that God will not ask you and I to do anything that he will not do. Okay? That's a principle and an understanding that you and I must have. So if God says, forgive 70 times, 7 times in a day, God is not going to do less than that. Now, that doesn't mean I go about sinning 70 times, 70 times. But that means that if I blew it, that God is capable of forgiving me at least that much. Yeah? Okay. Let's look at verse 27 again. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due. What does that tell me when I'm praying? Does God have it? He has it. So, if he says to me, don't you withhold good from the person that it is due, then that same law applies to him. Did you get that? That same principle applies to him. And then it says, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it, that same principle applies to him. The only reason why that will not work is that I have disempowered God by my own belief to not receive. And how is it that I disempower God by not believing? For the Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But let's go further down. What does it say about this pleasant way of God? It says to us that this pleasant pathway of God is connected to wisdom. Verse 17. Let me take it from verse 14. He says, talking about wisdom, he says, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and of the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. And then it says, her ways are ways of pleasantness. Now, all of those things, if we go further down, are related to wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And remember the statement I made earlier, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are directly connected to faith. You get that? You see it? You see the connection? So when we're talking about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, we're really talking about faith. And without faith, meaning without wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, you cannot please God. Let's wrap this for now. So with the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of recognizing not to withhold good from them that it is due, me not withholding, me doing the right thing, the implication and application of that principle now goes back to the one who is the embodiment of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, God himself. Now, I can come now to God in faith and say, God, I know that you have wisdom and riches in your hand. I need wisdom and riches. And your word says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due. I am due wisdom because I'm not acting very smartly right now. I need wisdom. I am not moving around like I have much gold in my pocket, in my bank account. I need riches. And it's in your hand. Favor me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say not unto thy neighbor. Jesus said, who is my neighbor? Is that the only question he asked? And when people came to him and said, your mother and your brothers are outside. They'd like to see you. Jesus, our Lord, said, my mother and my brothers are those that are here listening to my words, paying attention to what I'm saying. That's who family is. That's who my neighbor is. This is not about biological connection. This is about spiritual connection. Hallelujah. So don't say, go and come tomorrow. That's what he said. And tomorrow I will give when thou hast it by thee. Huh? Philippians chapter 4. He says to us in Philippians chapter 4, I'll read from verse 4 and 5 and possibly verse 6. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And I want you to see this. Let your moderation, the way you carry yourself, be known unto all men. The Lord is what? At hand. He's right here. He's everywhere present. So I can confidently ask and know that God says in his word, if it is in your hand to do something, don't postpone it. That makes sense? God, this is a blessing I need in my life right now. Don't postpone it. I need provision. Don't postpone it. Because you said that if I have the capacity and the ability to do something and don't do it, I am a devisor of evil. And you will not lead me into temptation, but deliver me from all evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Lord, I believe you to meet all of my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Does that help you as it helps me? For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. So where does that all boil down to? God is saying, I don't do anything, but I will reveal my secrets, what you need to do so that you get what you need done, done. Earlier this year, actually in December, I was supposed to go to Pakistan, and we had filled out the application for the visa. It's supposed to take maybe about 10 or so days. December came and left. No visa. January. No visa. February was coming to an end, and no visa. And I was ministering right here. And I was ministering from Matthew chapter 6, where it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall open unto you. And the Lord spoke to me while I was speaking to you guys. He said, knock on Pakistan. In Pakistan will open unto you. He just gave me a secret. So I said, Pakistan open. The next day or 2 days later, I get an email. And the email gave me my visa so that I could go to Pakistan. I had received a secret. Praying about something, it was in God's hand to give it. But I did not have the secret until, because we had the water pump situation down here, and I'm coming down Main Street, and you remember me telling you the story. God spoke to me, says, say, let there be a Burger King. I say, let there be a Burger King. It didn't make any sense to me. But at the end of the day, that, see that Burger King on Jefferson right there? That's where I said it. The building came up, and the solution to my problem came from that place. God did not come do anything. He showed me the secret. So the same thing, when we asking God for something and it seems like nothing is happening, please hear what I'm saying to you now. Hear it loud and clear in your spirit. For I hear it loud and clear in my spirit. If you're not getting an answer to what you are asking, it is not because God has not made it available. Because God knows past, present, and future, and He has the provision already, even before you were born, even before your parents were born, even before Abraham was born, even before Adam was put on the planet. The provision of God has always been there. But I need to know what it is that I need to say. He gives the secret to His servants who are His prophets. That's bare minimum. Do you understand? That's bare minimum. Because the Lord Jesus Christ goes on and tells us, He says, you, I don't call you servants. Because the servant only knows very limited stuff. I call you friends. So now God wants to unveil. Just talk, say things. Even before you get to the problem, God wants to speak to us and give us solutions to situations that we're about to come across so that we are no longer caught up. Remember the statement, with sudden fear. We're no longer taken by surprise. I am fully furnished with what I need for every moment. Now, this is only true if we believe that it is so. For according to how you believe, so shall it be unto you. If you say, well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but, okay, you get buts in the way, and you will be messed up. When we hear the word of God, we believe it, we receive it, we say, that's my portion. What is not my portion, I discard. Let it be unto me according to thy word. God, you will not withhold any good thing from me because it's in your power to do it. So now, show to me what words I need to speak forth out of my mouth to bring about what I need. Because ultimately, there is one thing, one problem that we have. It is a revelation problem. Revelation problem. That's it. It's all a revelation problem. You know the passage where God speaks to Abraham and says to Abraham, go and I'm going to show you something where I want you to go, where I want you to go. I have a promise for you. Now in the English, it's like God is saying to him, go and I'm going to show you. But in the proper language, in the Hebrew, if it is translated perfectly, this is what you will read. Find yourself so that you can find where I'm taking you to. Or like the Lord Jesus Christ will say with the parable of the seeds or the sower, they did not produce any fruit because they had no root. It had no root in itself. I need to find the God in me to speak the language of the God in me to create the world that God has for me. Did I lose you? If I lost you, raise your hand. Okay, that's good. You understood that. And when we shall see him, we shall find out one thing, that we are like him. I'm like him. I'm created in his image and in his likeness. And the word of God from God's mouth has equivalent value in my mouth. It's hard for me to believe it. But this is what I must do. Let it be unto me according to thy word. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Because child of God, let me tell you something. What we're talking about here right now, you are absolutely going to need in the days to come. All the experiences God has brought me through, were all preparations for the days ahead of us. The other day, I was making a statement here. And the statement was, do you think that the name of Jesus and the power of God overrides animate and inanimate objects? You remember I'm talking about that? And I said, will the name of Jesus override and stop an AI with a gun? Remember me saying that? Well, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago. Top scientists are petrified and telling the government that it is possible for humans to become extinct because of AI. Do you hear what I just said? But that's not us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because there is a name that's above every other name. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, including AI. Can you imagine that? AI is trying to attack. Bow down in the name of Jesus and declare his lordship. And AI starts saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Fries its system. Amen. Anyway, it's a joy. It's always a joy to share the word of God with you and to reflect on the principles of God's word. May we be made stronger because of the integrity of who he is, that every stronghold be destroyed. Let everything that our Father has not planted be rooted out. May people that God has not planted around us be rooted out. Thoughts that our Father has not planted, rooted out. Images that our Father God has not planted, be rooted out. Whatever it is that God has not planted, if they were planted by ourselves, by others, by demonic forces, spiritual forces, whatever has planted anything that our Father God has not planted, let those things be rooted out now. And may the plantings of the Lord prosper. For we are the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we thank you that those that are worshiping you in spirit and in truth, that come into your presence with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, that continue with you, are planted in your courtyards, and they continue to bear fruit even in old age. We thank you, Lord, for supernatural prosperity. And we thank you, Lord, oh God, that you will not withhold any good thing from us. That is what your word says. The Lord will not withhold any good thing. Oh, Father, we thank you for not withholding any good thing from us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a way of escape. Thank you, Lord, oh God, in the name of Jesus, that the enemy is trapped by his own traps. The enemy is falling into his own pit. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, that we are graced with supernatural provision. There is no lack in you, and therefore there is no lack in us, for you are in us. We abide in you, and you abide in us, and because we abide in each other, we are fruitful and bring forth much fruit. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's put together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for you. Thank you for coming. At this time, we will honor God with our giving, recognizing that that's part of the good. That which is in our hand, we do not withhold it. All of our investments are to honor Him who forever is Lord in our lives. Amen? So come, give unto the Lord. It's good to see Brother Bill. Blessings. It's possible that Zoom user might be Sister Carol. We thank God for both of you. We celebrate the goodness of God in your lives. And we appreciate you so very much. Bless you. Amen.
Greatness. Amen.
Well, good night. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. And we'll see you on Friday for another time together in prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Is that Sister Ernestine? Just wait for me. Yeah, I'm coming. Just wait for me.